chapter 15. We'll read verses 1 to 17 of the chapter, but the focus really will be on the first 5 or 6 verses. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is the commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I hear from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. So that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. If I knew the right place, I would have gotten a branch from a grapevine and distributed one to each person. As we read in Jesus talking about the vine and branches, if I were to do that, and if I could somehow give it to you all, and you held them up, you would notice they're not very useful. They're dry. They're lifeless. Hollow. Brittle. They're really good for nothing. Maybe the best you can do is to heap them up in a little pile and start a fire and try to keep warm. But even that, they don't give off very much heat. They're too weak to support anything. If you try to use them to build up something, they would quickly collapse. Those branches, separated from the vine, really have no value. And so you can't go to Walmart and buy some and bring them here. No one would buy them. But when the vine branches are attached to the main vine, it's a very different story. The branch is green and supple. Life flows through it. There are fruit at the ends of the branches. Fruit is produced. And the means is by the branch carrying the nutrients up from the vine out to the end. And it's useful in producing fruit. And that's really the picture here that Jesus is using to people in his day who had known very well what happens if you accidentally snap off a branch from the vine. You might as well rip it out. It would not bring out forth any more fruit. And the question, as we look at our lives and think about this, when we come to the Lord's table and we eat and we drink, what kind of fruit are we bearing? Because Jesus talks in this portion about not bearing fruit, of bearing fruit, and of bearing more fruit. And it calls us naturally to say, what kind of fruit do I have? And perhaps the most important point that he makes is the key to whether you have any fruit at all is whether or not you're in Jesus Christ. If you're in Jesus Christ, you can bear fruit. You can bear more fruit. But if you're not, there's no possibility of really bearing any fruit. Fruitfulness and fruitlessness is related directly to whether we're in Christ or we're abiding in Him or we're not. Verse 5, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so the first point is we can see there are those who'd be somehow around Christ but bear no fruit. And it's because they're not truly attached to Jesus Christ. They're like a branch cut off from the vine. You won't see any grapes on it. And when you think about what kind of fruit Jesus is expecting in terms of a Christian character and lifestyle, of witnessing, and those types of things, they're never the result of human achievement. What separates the Church of Jesus Christ from a club that we might be in, or a social organization? It's exactly this, that we're dependent upon Jesus Christ. We're not dependent upon human efforts. We're not dependent on human efforts to bring people in, to raise the budget, to help the needy. And we're called to actively responding in those areas. But it's not up to us. It happens as we're in Jesus Christ. And I trust that your interest and mine is not in building some sort of social club. You know, a great place where we have good meals and we sit around and talk and enjoy each other's fellowship, which is important. But that's not our goal. That's not our purpose. Our purpose, our goal, is to be a great church of God. And it comes as we're united to Jesus Christ, individually and together. And how we need to keep that in mind every step of the way as we are united to Christ. As we as a congregation are united to Him is the key. And we may talk about how to bring in new people and strategies for doing that or what the budget should be and what type of giving we want. But it's done with a difference. It's done looking to Jesus Christ for His strength, for His wisdom, for His direction, for His power, knowing that He has to be working. We can only expect real fruit, true fruit, as we're united to Him. Verse 5 is very emphatic. As it says, you can do nothing apart from me. There is no spiritual achievement. He doesn't say, you can only do a little. Or you have limited success. He said, nothing. It's unthinkable. And the condition in verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, we can think specifically of Judas Iscariot, who was around Jesus, who walked with him, or who heard his teaching, who saw the miracles he performed, and yet was not united to Jesus Christ. He'll be thrown away, he dries up, he's cast in the fire, he's burned up. All pictures of loss. Pictures of one being unproductive, of bearing no fruit. Why were you made? What is your purpose? You're made to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. You're made to produce fruit. Much fruit, it says in verse 8. That is your purpose. That is my purpose. That is our purpose as a congregation. And we need to keep that in mind. If we're not doing that, something is amiss, and we need to correct it. You know, various things have a purpose behind them. A dishwasher, what's its purpose? That's very simple, to wash dishes. A car is used for transport. Mankind is to glorify God and to enjoy Him and to produce fruit. And while you and I might do many worthwhile things, courageous acts, if they're not united to Jesus Christ, then they cannot fulfill that basic purpose of glorifying God and of bearing fruit for Him. You might compare it to an electric razor. You know, it has to be plugged in to do its job, to carry out its function. And we too need that. And a toaster needs that. We need to be united to Christ. Now I'm trusting that no one here that's true, that's not united to Jesus Christ. But the encouragement of Scripture is for everyone, young and old, is to be in Christ, to be united to Him, to have faith. And especially, I think, as we think of the Lord's Supper, that what we are symbolically doing is true in the inward person. But I also think there's a corporateness that we often don't think about, because we often think about abiding in Christ as individuals. But Jesus here is addressing it to his disciples, to them as a group. And we can think of how it's addressed to us as a group. That really there's a sense in which all of us together need to be abiding in Christ, to be emphasizing our unity to Him and the fruitfulness that is to be a part of us for that to continue. And one of the key ways of that is prayer, to be in prayer, realizing how much we need that help from God and from Christ. Well, the second point we can see in these verses is that there are those who show fruit. And really, as we look at this passage, it's saying those who are united to Jesus Christ, who abide in Him, will inevitably, without fail, show fruit. Verse 5, He bears much fruit. There's no doubt about the one who abides in Christ and Christ abides in you. The result will be fruit. And the sense here in the Greek is that you'll be continually bearing fruit. You don't just produce it once and then that's it. But your life will be continually bearing fruit. And notice it says much fruit. Later on, it'll point out how it goes on to produce even more fruit. And God is a God of abundance. He isn't stingy in what He gives. He wants to see us being abundant in fruit and fruitfulness. You know, Philippians 4:13, Paul says, I can do all things through Him, Jesus Christ, who strengthens me. Do you believe that? Could you put your name in there and say, I believe that, and put your name in, can do all things? Do you think of yourself as being sort of a channel of God's power, of God's blessing, of God's working in this world? How does He accomplish His purposes here in Terre Haute? Well, one of the ways is by using us individually and as a church family to channel His blessings to others. You are His instrument. We might compare it to a hose. You know, how does the water get from the spigot to the garden? Which is you have that hose channeling it out. Again, if it's not attached, nothing happens. But if you have that water source and the hose, there's going to be water getting through. It's designed to do that. And in some sense, it really even doesn't matter what the size of the hose is. Because you can have a very narrow hose and you can have wider hoses because you can use hoses. But if it's attached and stays attached to the water spigot, over time, that garden is going to be fully watered. It may take more time. And some hoses have more capacity. And some individuals, we might say, have more capacity for service in the kingdom. And we might look and say, oh, I wish I had that person's knowledge or that person's background. But if we're united to Christ, will be that channel that He uses. And ultimately, it's not about how much capacity you have. It's whether we're connected to Christ. As one man has said, it does not take a big man to be used by God, but it takes all of them. As we fully give ourselves, as we surrender to Christ and His will, we can expect God to use us in powerful ways. Well, I've talked about bearing fruit. What kind of fruit is Jesus talking about here? Well, I think it's several different varieties. First and maybe most important is a Christ-like character, the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And so it would be your ambition to be like the Savior, to be showing love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. So when you're wronged, you patiently endure it. You show concern for people. That's where daily devotions, family devotions come into play, is you're in God's Word seeing what God desires. Well, second, there'd be Christ-like actions. And we think about what does that fruit look like? Well, the key about Christ was He was a servant. And servanthood implies involvement in ministry of looking to the needs of others. And it can be in different ways, meeting a physical need, helping in the nursery, vacuuming the floor, witnessing. Taking in a meal, that we show a Christ-likeness there. And a third fruit would be in terms of witness, a Christ-like witness, appointing men and women to their need for God, their need for a Savior. And Jesus did this. He was constantly directing people to their spiritual needs. We could use a thing like a woman coming out for water to point her to her deeper need. We need to be doing that. And he didn't force anyone to believe. And there are ones who walked away from him, unconverted, unchanged. And there may be those around us that we share the good news and do not respond. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. We're to be faithful in speaking to our friends and our relatives, our co-workers, our neighbor down the street concerning Christ. It will show fruit. And the third point is, Jesus also refers to more fruit. It occurs as you look at verse 2, when you're pruned. And the literal meaning of that word is when you're cleansed. Now, is it talking about a plant? How's a plant cleansed? Well, he translated prune to give a sense of it. But it's the idea of of getting rid of what's there that isn't beneficial. In terms of plant, it may be excess leaves. And if you ask Rachel, like to plant cucumbers, and you plant them, and then you have to go along and you have these nice little healthy plants and you have to rip out every second or third one of them. Hated to do that. But what happens if I don't? Well, the plants grow together and none of them do well. And they don't produce any fruit. So that process, and the same thing with tomatoes and other plants. You prune, you give space to grow, to produce fruit. And that's the image that Jesus is using here. That as we are cleansed, as the excess, in our case, it would be sin, is gotten rid of. Those inclinations, those energies that are being spent in wrong ways are being harnessed by God. Then we're able to be more fruitful, to bear more fruit. Jesus isn't here really trying to rebuke the disciples, but to point out the cleansing that takes place when they're united with him. That he's going to be supernaturally working to cleanse out the sin. The Holy Spirit working within them will be pointing out sin. Their consciences will direct them. And they'll be clean. In verse 3, it talks about being clean. And it's the same word that is used in verse 2 as pruning. And as Jesus takes you through some things, and it may be a time of difficulty, to maybe weaken your affections for something of this world, is so that you could be even more fruitful in the future. And it reminds us that life is not just drifting along aimlessly. There's a purpose. It's moving toward a goal. And we're to glorify God. It requires diligence and effort, a constant desire to move closer to God, to be, in the context, ever more dependent upon God. You'll get rid of anger and malice and hypocrisy and envy and greed and joylessness and lust and pride and gossiping. So you might be a purified vessel, ready for service to the Master. And go back to the hose. Now, a hose that has a lot of holes will carry some water. But if you're using a hose and plug up some of it, that hose with holes in it, and you plug up some, it'll carry even more water. It'll be even more productive. bear more fruit. And as we respond to the sin in our lives and forsake it, and as we become more attached to Jesus Christ in the sense of allowing Him to cleanse our lives, we'll become more productive as Christians. Now, for application, I would have us think about what we're doing this afternoon as we come to the Lord's table. Each one we're saying, I'm abiding in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ abides in me. Just as I take that bread and that cup and use it symbolically to indicate I need Christ, reminded here that we have to abide in Christ. That this week, you and I need to be abiding in Christ to bear fruit. And we should be expecting it. And be looking forward to bearing even more fruit as God works to cleanse us, to purify our attitudes and thoughts, our words and our actions. We draw near through Christ. We realize we can do nothing without Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we think about partaking of the Lord's Supper, we pray that we would understand the true significance of how it represents a spiritually feeding upon Christ, how we need His grace, that we have no strength, no ability on ourselves. We're like that vine cut off from the branch that is worthless, is only fit for destruction. Help us each one to be united to Christ, be abiding in Him, and to continue to abide, and that we would be bearing then much fruit. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.